morning. So if you would take your Bibles, Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter number 6. And whenever you find your place, if you wouldn't mind to stand as we read the Word of God this morning, you might wonder, why do we do that? Why do we stand every time? Well, it's just to give honor and reverence to the Word of God. If you're unable to stand, that's totally understandable. We're not worried about that, but we just want to do our best this morning to give honor to what we hold in our hands. It is the eternal, infallible, perfect Word of the living God that we get to hold in our hands, and we're going to hear from. I don't have anything for you this morning. I'm 31. I don't know a lot. but I happen to know someone who does. And we're just going to say what God says this morning, and I'm excited about that. So, Luke chapter 6, verse 20, we're starting what is known as the Sermon on the Plain. We'll say more about that. Jesus had just chose his 12 apostles. He had just healed a multitude, healed them all, it says in the end of verse 19. And so we said last week, didn't he, that Jesus has already validated his word through verification, eyewitness verification, authentication from God himself, healing these people that in a way only God can do. And now Jesus is going to give his message, and it starts here in verse 20 where he says this. He lifted up his eyes on his disciples and said, "Blessed be ye poor." Now that's a weird place to start. You know, the poor are blessed, Jesus says. We'll explain all this. Why? "For yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are ye that hunger now, for ye shall be filled. Blessed are ye that weep now." Weep now, "for ye shall laugh. Blessed are ye when men shall hate you." Like, Jesus, where are you going with this, right? The people might be saying, and you might be wondering that this morning. How are these people blessed? Well, that's what the preaching is about. We'll get to that. "And when they shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you, and cast out your name as evil, for the Son of Man's sake, rejoice ye in that day, and leap for joy. When men hate you for serving God, leap for joy. For behold, your reward is great in heaven. For in the like manner did their fathers unto the prophets." Verse 24 switches gears. "But woe unto you that are rich, for ye have received your consolation. Woe unto you that are full, for ye shall hunger. Woe unto you that laugh now, for ye shall mourn and weep. Woe unto you when all men speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets." So we'll pray and we'll get into our message entitled "True Happiness." True happiness. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for coming to this earth, God, and living among us as a man. And thank you, God, for dying on the cross for us. We're so undeserving. We're humbled by that you would do that and come and live on this earth and do that for us. But we're also thankful for the words that you've given us. And Lord, I'm thankful for this portion of Scripture. And I pray that you help me as I explain it. Help me to explain it in a way that's understandable. And as we've already talked about this morning, help us all to have hearts that are open and ready, Lord, to receive your word. We love you. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. Attending a wedding for the first time, a little girl whispered to her mother, "Mommy, why is the bride dressed in white?" And so her mother responded, "Well, because white is the color of happiness, and today is the happiest day of her life." So the child sat there and thought about it for a moment and then said, "So why is the groom wearing black?" We all want to be happy, don't we? Really, if we're honest, we all want to be happy. Have you ever heard this statement, "Well, whatever makes you happy"? Or maybe you've heard it this way, "Well, as long as you're happy." And then we use that really to justify about anything, right? Because really, in our heart, our heart's desire is to be happy. That's why people say that. People really fundamentally are searching for happiness. They want to be happy. And then, so the question is this, is there something wrong with that? Is that a bad thing to want to be happy? Now, if you take what they say literally, then they mean that no matter what it takes, I'm going to do what it takes to be happy, because that's all that matters. And that obviously is not okay, right? But of course, people want to be happy because why? Well, just think about it. If you're not happy, then what are you? Like sad or angry or meh? Is that what God wants for you, just to be that way? I will happen to know it's not wrong to want to be happy, because really, we'll see this morning that this passage is written, and these words of Christ are written to help us to see how we can be truly happy. Truly happy. I know it's hard to believe sometimes, but the Christian life is supposed to be a life filled with happiness. And now you might be extra spiritual this morning, and you say, well, no, Brother Chad, the Christian life is supposed to be filled with joy, but not necessarily happiness. And if you're thinking that, I know exactly what you mean when you say that. Because honestly, before studying this passage deeply, I thought really that same thing. And I would say that same thing. Oh, happiness doesn't matter. It's just joy, right? Because if you look at the word happy, it is entirely based upon what is happening, right? Or what has happened. And so it really means happiness. To be happy means fortunate or lucky, in a sense. Basically, it means things are going well. You enjoy what is happening, and so you are happy, right? And here's the problem with that. We often don't enjoy what is happening, and so that makes happiness fleeting, doesn't it? And up and down, it's a roller coaster, one of those with the spinning and the craziness. That's the life of happiness sometimes. And joy, on the other hand, is a deep, inner, abiding joy that's not based on what's happening, but instead is the heart of a believer who is surrendered to God and to His control. Because Galatians 5 says, the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy, peace, long-suffering. And so it's something that God gives you no matter what is happening. And I understand that. And I'm with you on that. But in this passage, Jesus doesn't say, joyful are you, that He says this, blessed are you. Blessed are you. And so if we're really going to understand what Jesus is trying to accomplish here, what He's accomplishing here, then we need to really understand what it means to be blessed. Now, we hear that all the time, right? Blessed. We always say, what you did really blessed me, right? We say things like that. Or that was a blessing. Or sometimes, if you're really Christian, you have a sign in your house that says, blessed, right? And we have those, and we say that. And so we're acquainted with that word. But as I was studying for this, really, if you were to ask me, so what does that mean then? Like, give me a concrete definition of blessed. I was having an issue really coming up with that. And so I really looked into it, and I think it will be helpful to you. And so the word that's translated blessed in our text, the Greek word that Jesus would have actually said here, or that Luke would have written down, it means this: supremely blessed, by extension, fortunate, or well off. That's what the word means. And so let's go back again to our word happy. What does it mean again? Fortunate, or things are going well. And so when you see the word blessed in the Bible, it literally means happy. It does. You might say, no. Yeah, no. In fact, the same Greek word translated blessed in our passage is translated happy in other passages. What do you mean? Well, how about John 13:17, where it says, if ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. And so that word happy, the Greek word underlying it, is the same Greek word translated blessed. Well, did the translators just get it wrong? No, it's because blessed and happy are synonyms. They mean the same. Blessed, happy. The same is true for the word happy in Acts 26:2, Romans 14:22, 1 Corinthians 7:40, James 5:11, 1 Peter 3:14, and 1 Peter 4:14. All those verses say the word happy, and in every instance, it's that same word blessed here. And so the Beatitudes are essentially Jesus telling his disciples how they can find supreme blessedness, or we can call it this, true happiness. Here's how you are truly happy, Jesus says. Now, the reason that all might sound a little bit wrong this morning, and maybe against what we've heard maybe before, is because here's the real problem. The way the world tries to find happiness is much different than how Jesus tells his disciples to find happiness. Right? That's the issue, isn't it? The search for true happiness is in all of mankind. The problem is that mankind generally seems to try to find and look for happiness in the wrong places. And I have good news for you this morning, because I'm going to share with you how the true path to happiness, where it really truly lies, and what Jesus says about it. And it's all way different than what the world says. How do you know that? Well, it says, verse 20, "And he lifted up his eyes on his disciples and said, Blessed be ye poor." Now, if you ask the world, hey, how can somebody be happy? They wouldn't have, and maybe who in this world is happy, right? Who is it in this world that is truly happy? They will not say the poor. What is the other? What does he say? The poor, the hungry, and those that are weeping. Weeping? That's the opposite of happy. But Jesus says, blessed be ye poor. Blessed are ye that hunger now, and blessed are ye, and blessed are ye that weep now, and blessed are ye when men shall hate you. Now our world says, here's how you find happiness. Have a lot of stuff, right? Make sure that you are never sad, right? Make sure you are able to eat well, and make sure people like you. And if you have a lot of stuff and you eat well and nothing bad ever happens to you, and if people like you, then what you are is you're happy. Not true. Not true. And you know that's not true. Because there's been times in your life where you've had a lot of stuff and you've been well fed and nothing bad really is happening and everybody seems to like you, but you still feel empty, don't you? And you still feel shallow and you're not really happy. Jesus tells us how we can be happy, truly happy. And here it is. Jesus promised that those who base their fulfillment in God and in eternity, they are blessed. They are blessed. He says this in verse 21. Blessed be ye poor. Not verse 20, I'm sorry. Blessed be ye poor. Now, they're poor, but they're also blessed. Now, here's what Jesus is not saying. He is not saying, if you want to be happy, be poor. That's not what he's saying. But he's saying, you that are poor. Now, who's he talking to again? Look in verse 20. He lifted up his eyes on his disciples. Who are the disciples? Well, we said last week, there are really three groups of people here. There's the apostles, who he called last week. We said that. They're the ones that are going to really be the teachers of his message. Give authority from Christ to teach his message. Then there are the disciples. The disciples are those who have surrendered fully to Christ, who have become learners of Christ, who have made the words of Christ more important than anything, who have surrendered things in their life, maybe surrendered even their family. Maybe they've surrendered their stuff. Maybe Peter dropped his nets, his livelihood, and followed Christ. The disciples are the ones who are truly following Christ. And then there's the multitudes. Remember, they came from all over, and Jesus is healing them all. And these are the ones that are interested in Christ, but maybe have not yet truly decided to follow him yet. But Jesus, when he lifted up his eyes, he was speaking to his disciples. Now, the apostles are disciples. There are 12 of the disciples that Jesus chose with special authority. But he's speaking to his disciples. He's speaking to the ones who have made him and his word and his way more important than anything. And Jesus says, you disciples who are poor, you're blessed. What? He's not saying only the poor, but ye that are poor, if you're poor, disciples, you're blessed. Well, why? Well, he says, blessed are ye poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. They might be poor on this earth, but they also possess an eternal citizenship in heaven. And they might not have a lot now, but as disciples of Christ, as true believers in Christ, their sins have been forgiven. And when they pass from this earth, yeah, this earth might be hard. They might not have a lot now, but they have an eternity to look forward to, where they have a life with God and a life in heaven. You know the song, "I've Got a Mansion"? They've got a life, an eternity to live. And so while maybe primarily and temporarily they're poor in this earth, they have an eternity to look forward to. And because even though this life is hard, they're looking to their eternity, and because they've made the things of God most important to them, then they have an eternity awaiting them, and that is true, so they're happy. And really the next two Beatitudes expand on the first Beatitude. Verse 21, "Blessed are ye that hunger now." You see that? You hunger. Well, who's the hungry? Well, they're the poor. "And blessed are ye that are weep now." Right? And so you maybe are going through hard times now. But he says this, "Blessed are you that hunger now, for ye shall be filled." You might be hungry now and going without now, and maybe not satisfied, all your needs met here, but you will have an eternity of satisfaction. You see, those who follow him. And then those that weep now, and maybe things are hard now, and when you're hungry, and life is difficult, and you're scrounging for food, and you have all these issues, it's hard now, and there's times of weeping now, but still, undergirding all of that, even through the difficult times, you are blessed if you're a disciple of Christ, because you shall laugh. What does that mean? Well, weeping is an outward display of hard times. Laughing is an outward display of good times. And Jesus says, you might have times of weeping on this earth, but you'll have an eternity of laughing, of enjoyment, of blessing to look forward to. You see? Are you following me? And so, if they truly understood, Jesus says, if you truly understood eternity, then you'll be blessed. They would be always happy, because no matter what they lacked on earth, they would have possessed an eternity with God Almighty. And if they have an eternity with God to look forward to, then they can be blessed. And even though they might be temporarily hungry at times, they would eternally feast at the King's table. And even though they may temporarily show pain and sorrow at times on this earth, they would eternally show joy and satisfaction in heaven. So here's the deal. It's true. Happiness is based on happening. It's true. It is. Happiness is based on happening. Here's the key. Which happening are you focused on? Are you focusing on what is happening now on this earth, or are you focused on what will be happening in eternity? And if you're focused on what will be happening in eternity, then you will be blessed. And now is temporary and small. Fleeting. James says, our life is but a vapor, here today, gone tomorrow. It's like a flower that fadeth, and it's here and it's vibrant and it's beautiful, but then it fades away. And your life is that way. We have 60, 80, 100, maybe even 110 years on this earth. But even if you live to be 110, your life is short compared to eternity. And so if you focus on this life, your happiness will be up and down and sideways and crazy and fleeting. But if you focus on the eternity that's awaiting you, it's going to last forever. It's going to be much better than this. And here's the other thing. It doesn't change. And while this world is a roller coaster of emotions, as a Christian, you can be a train. Solid. Stable. Because no matter how life is going on this earth, your eternity doesn't change, does it? And that's something to be pretty happy about. That's something to be pretty blessed about. Yeah. Christians that face hard times on earth are still blessed because they're citizens of the kingdom of heaven. You are, if you're saved this morning, if your sins are forgiven, you are already a citizen of heaven. And you can experience the joys of heaven now if you focus on the right things. You may not be poor this morning. You may not be dependent upon the goodness of others to survive. You might be saying, oh, Brother Chad, I am poor. Well, not like they were. Like if they were to eat that day, the people Jesus is talking to, if they were to eat that day, that means somebody walked by and gave them food. That's, America doesn't know really pure poverty the way that they did. And it does in some ways, but we're a little bit misconstrued on this. And so you might not be in that state. You might be in that state. But here's the thing. Here's what's true about all of you. You will face hard times. You will face hard times. You may face times when you don't have enough food on your table. You might. You may lose a loved one. You may be placed in a hard family situation. Your house might burn down. Your car might break down. And it could seem like everything in your life is crumbling all around you, but if you're a Christian, if you're a disciple of Christ, then you are still blessed. Why? Because no matter what's happening to you on this earth, no matter what you lose, no matter how hard things get, this will never, the fact of eternity will never change. Will never change if you're saved. You're a citizen of God. You're a citizen of the kingdom of God. And no matter how much you lose on this earth, you won't be left empty for long, because for all of eternity you'll be filled. You'll have more than you can ever dream of in heaven. And no matter how hard life gets on this earth, it won't be hard for long, really, if you think about it in the big picture, because if you compare it with the everlasting life with God and how amazing that will be for all of eternity, it's really just a short time. And Jesus never promised to take care of you all the time on this earth and you have everything you want on this earth and to keep you healthy all the time on this earth and to give you everything you want on this earth. He never promised that. In fact, he actually said there's going to be a lot of times where you're not going to have what you think you need. You're not going to have what you want for sure. You're going to have times where your health is failing you. You're going to have times where you face trials and tribulations in this life. You might lose your head, Jesus said. But your blessedness is not based upon how life is going here. Your blessedness is based on how life is going there. And yeah, God will give you blessings in this earth. He will. And let's praise God for that. Let's praise God for good health. Let's praise God for provision and abundance. He does bless us that way. Let's not say, if you're a Christian, then you must never have anything good, never be happy. No enjoyment, no happiness. No, that's not it. But what I am saying is don't base your happiness on those things. They're fleeting. They're very temporary. Our fulfillment, our joy, our security, our happiness needs to be based on the next life, not this life. You see? Yeah. Then he says this, blessed are ye when men shall hate you, in verse 22. When men shall hate you, when they shall separate you from their company and shall reproach you and cast your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. He says, if you follow me, disciples, he's looking again at his disciples, there's going to come times where men hate you. There's going to come times where people in your life, maybe people you love, are going to separate themselves from you. They won't have anything to do with you. And not only will they separate from you and not give you the pleasure of their company, but they will drag your name through the mud and they will speak evil of you and they will reproach you and they will cast out your name as evil and they'll say all kinds of bad things about you and they're going to do that to you. But he says you can still be happy when that's happening. Why? How is that possible? Verse 23 says, rejoice. Rejoice ye in that day, and leap for joy. For behold, behold means this is important. This is a big deal. Hey, they're making fun of you. They're saying bad things about you. They're separating away from you. Oh, why? Just because you're following me, Jesus says. And he never promised everyone's going to like you. He never promised popularity. He never promised that your loved ones are going to just continually dote upon you. He never promised any of these things. He never promised a happy, an abundant life in physical ways on this earth. He never promised popularity. He says there's going to be times where they separate from you. And he says when you do, rejoice. Leap for joy. Because he says, behold, check this out, he says. Your reward is great in heaven. He says, yeah, they might make your life difficult now, but you have an eternal reward waiting for you. And man might make your life hard now, but Christ is going to give you rewards forever, you see. Forever. Yeah. And no matter, even though they were going to be rejected and hated by men at times, they can still be happy because the reality was still this, that they had great reward in heaven that made any recognition of kind words from man seem unimportant. You see? You might not get the rewards of man, but you will have for eternity the rewards of God. See? Are you following? Now again, this doesn't mean that to be a good Christian, we've got to get people to hate us. Okay? And I think sometimes Christians fall in that trap. And the more enemies I have, the better. Jesus will say, love your enemies. He doesn't say, love having enemies. We don't need to go out there and make enemies and make people hate us and make people say bad things about us. But here's the reality. If you follow Christ and if you teach and preach the truth and if you live for God, there will be people who won't like you for it. It's just the truth. And you cannot say, well, people don't like me, so I'm not doing well. Well, no. A lot of people hated Christ. If our popularity is our measuring stick for our spirituality, then Jesus failed, didn't he? If our church doing well means we have a lot of people, and then if a lot of people leave and we're stuck with 10 of us in our minds, and then because of that, we're not doing well as a church, Jesus didn't do well then, if that's your standard. A lot of people hated Christ. A lot of people started to follow him, heard what he had to say, and then left. A lot of people did that. He had thousands upon thousands of people following him. When he left, there was 120. The numbers aren't good. But the numbers aren't what matters, is it? What matters is that we're following Christ. And whoever wants to follow Christ with us, come on. That was Jesus' message, right? I'm God, he says, and here's the way to live. And whoever wants to follow me, it's not going to be easy. I don't promise you anything except for eternal blessedness, but I don't promise you anything on this earth necessarily. But if you follow me, I promise you, you'll have life fulfillment and abundance, spiritually speaking, and you'll have an eternity awaiting you. And Jesus says, whoever wants to follow me, come on. And so thousands of people came, and they wanted to be healed, and they wanted to be made better, and they got healed, and their life on this earth was made more comfortable because their illness was gone. But once they were more comfortable, they left because they were focused on this life, not the next life. Are you following me? But true happiness comes when we base it upon the next life. Because those people who were healed and left, and maybe their problems were fixed, and then they left, and they were happy because their problems were gone, I guarantee you this, it didn't take long for them to have another problem. Because we live on this earth. We live in a sin-cursed planet with problems and with people. We make mistakes and do wrong things. But we can't base our happiness on how it's going now. We base our happiness on what is going to be happening next. Because Jesus says this, not only will you have rewards in heaven, but he says this, for in like manner did their fathers unto the prophets. Jesus says, hey, the prophets, the ones who proclaimed my word, the ones who were faithful to teach my word in the Old Testament, you know what happened to them? Oftentimes they were ridiculed, they were mocked, they were killed, Jesus says. And you can be in their company. Yay, right? But it's not, you might say, how is that good? Well, it's good because what's happening is you're following God, and then you have an eternal reward waiting for you. And if you're going to focus on how life goes on this earth, then you are not going to follow Christ for long. You follow me? Yeah. Christians who are hated by men are still blessed. Why? Because they will be rewarded eternally. We don't face the kind of persecution that Christians would have faced throughout history in this time and really throughout history. The disciples that Christ was talking to here, they already were facing ridicule and hatred from their family, from the society. The Jews rejected Christ. the Jews called him a blasphemer. Do you remember what happened just before all of this, where the Pharisees were looking what they can do to kill him? So Jesus knew that the persecution was on, the heat was on, and if you were to be a follower of Christ, you got what he got. You got the opposition. You got the persecution. You got all of that. You were a recipient of the hatred and the shame that Christ had to bear. And so, not just from the society, but from your family. If these disciples who followed Christ, if their family was devout Jews, if their family were Pharisaical and they followed the teachings of the Pharisee, then their family would have disowned them for following a blasphemer. And a lot of these disciples lost their families, lost their friends, potentially lost their jobs and their livelihood. Why? To follow Christ. And they're blessed, Jesus said. But we don't typically face that kind of persecution. And we can thank God for that. And we ought to. If you read about the history of true Christians and churches throughout the centuries, there have been millions of Christians, followers of Christ, who have been imprisoned, who have been tortured, who have been killed for their faith. In fact, if you go to Hebrews 11, which you won't this morning, it says that Christians were, and even during the time the Bible is being written, just decades at the max after Christ went back to heaven with the Father, he says there were people who were already tortured and mocked and scourged and imprisoned and stoned and sawn in pieces, slain with the sword, banished from society. We're extremely fortunate to live in a time and a society that we live in, but we're not persecuted for our faith that way. But you might face persecution. You might not face that kind of persecution, but it's very possible you're going to face the hatred of men on this earth. Why? Because you follow Christ. People not like the fact that you go to church every Sunday. People might call you names. They might treat you poorly because you claim to be a Christian. Family members might not like the fact that you joined a Baptist church. They might not like the fact that you won't go to their parties because of what they do there. They might not like the fact that you chose to come to the house of God instead of their parties, which they always seem to throw on Sundays. And they might be upset with you about that. They might be angry with you about that. There might be even come a day in this country when you could be thrown into jail for standing for the truth and saying what the Bible says. You just read Romans 1 out loud and you're in prison. That could happen. God never promised that people would love you if you followed Him. In fact, He warned that the opposite will probably happen. But even if the whole world hated you and turned on you, if you're a disciple of Christ, you are still blessed. Why? Because while you might not be rewarded by men on this earth, you'll be rewarded for eternity in heaven. You see? No matter what mankind thinks of you, the time you spend on this earth while you're enduring the hatred of men is nothing compared to the eternal reward from God Almighty. Because our blessedness seems to be based on our eternity. Our blessedness needs to be based upon our eternity. We need to focus on not what is happening now, but we need to be focused on what will be happening then. You see? But we're not the only ones that need to think that way. We're not the only ones that need to base our fulfillment and our happiness and our security on eternity. No, Jesus warned that those who base their blessedness on this in this life, base their blessedness on wealth and on comfort and on popularity and on possessions, they will face, right now they'll enjoy this life, but they are facing an eternity of pain and misery, Jesus said. Look at verse 24 through 26. He says, woe, but woe. Now what does that mean? Woe is the opposite of blessing. It's a warning of pain and misery. Blessing means happiness and things are going well and joy and things are going the way you want them to go. Woe is the opposite. Woe is pain. Woe is misery. And Jesus said this, but woe unto you that are rich, for ye have received your consolation. Woe unto you that are full, for ye shall hunger. Woe unto you that laugh now, for ye shall mourn and weep. Woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets. Now Jesus is still technically addressing the disciples here, But it's obvious that he's really speaking to those who base their happiness on the things of this world. When you base your fulfillment and your security on the things of this world, Jesus says, woe. He is speaking to those who have not chosen to follow Christ, but who find their meaning, their security, their happiness in the things of this earth, in wealth, in comfort, in popularity, in possessions. And Jesus said this, those who neglect eternity, basing their meaning on this earth and the temporary things of this life, will for all of eternity face pain and misery, that Jesus said. Jesus is making this contrast to show his disciples that those who have everything this world has to offer, those who have the wealth, those who have the popularity, those who have the stuff, and they seem happy, they're not worth envying. Because if they have chosen the things of this earth over the kingdom of God, then they might be happy now, but they're facing an eternity of woe. You see? They might be full now. They might laugh now. They might be well spoken of now, but they will find no consolation. They will find no satisfaction. They will find no happiness when they face eternity. And that's a lot longer than this life. You see? And those who can't see the future, who can't look past this earth and look at eternity, they will face pain and misfortune. Those who operate on eternity are blessed. Those who operate based on the temporary will face eternal pain. Those who focus on the things of this earth will probably have a better chance of having more in this life. They have their consolation now, but this is the best it gets for them. You see? This life is the best they have. And if they allow the things of this world to distract them from preparing for eternity, they may not face hunger now, but they will face eternal hunger. They will be unsatisfied for eternity. And they might laugh and they might enjoy themselves on this earth, but they will eternally mourn and weep, Jesus says, because this is not the life that matters. It is the next life that matters. There are so many people in this world that are so obsessed with having fun and so obsessed with being comfortable that they neglect eternity, both theirs and others. And there are so many people that don't even think about where they'll spend eternity because they're spending all of their time trying to make themselves comfortable now. And Luke 16 tells us about a rich man and a poor man. A poor man named Lazarus, who's eating the crumbs from the table, and a rich man who had it all. And it says the poor man, Lazarus, he died and was carried to heaven, and he's eating with Christ forever, the eating at the table of the king for eternity. The rich man. Now, not all rich men are wrong. It's not the problem. That's not the point. But the man who only focused on this earth's riches, he was happy on this earth. But the Bible says he died, and in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being tormented in flame. And the first thing he thought of when he got there was, how can I get my family to hear about the truth? So they don't have to come to this place. And it is said that the moment you pass from this earth, you know how you should have lived. And it was true for him, but it was too late for him. Why? Because he neglected eternity. Because he was so focused on the things of this earth. And he was happy in this earth, but he wasn't fulfilled. He wasn't truly happy. It was empty happiness at best. And then he passed from this earth and faced an eternity of woe. But listen, it's not only the lost people who can focus on this life more than the next life. Often, Christians aren't happy because they're so focused on their circumstances. And you ask them, how's it going? Oh, well, this is all the best that's happened. You know? How are you doing? Oh, don't ask. Don't ask. Hey, how are things? Well, how much time do you got? So I can tell you all the bad things because they're focused on their circumstances of this life. Now, there's a place for consolation and there's a place for talking through those things and for comfort. But listen, Paul was strung up in prison, chained to a wall, and he was joyful. And if you asked him how he was doing, he would say, blessed. And it wasn't a shallow thing. Because he knew he had an eternity to look forward to. And he knew he was right in the center of God's will. And he knew he was, even in the prison, strapped to a wall, was still being used by God to affect the eternity of others. And he found his blessedness not in the circumstances of life, but in the circumstances of the next life. Yeah. But if you make your eternity with God and the most important thing in your life, the most important thing to you, then even when life is hard, you can be happy because that is always going well. Right? If you're headed for heaven, then your eternity is always going well. And if you focus on eternity, then that is always going well for you. And yeah, there's a time for weeping. The disciples still wept. The disciples were still hungry. They were still going through hard times. But even in the midst of weeping over the circumstances of life, there is undergirding that an eternal and abiding happiness that says, yeah, things are hard now, and yeah, I don't enjoy what we're going through, but I have an eternity. Praise God for His love and mercy. Because I know what I deserve, and I know what I'm getting. You see? Because true happiness is based on eternity. Jim Elliot, who was a famous missionary to Ecuador, he was killed there by the people he was trying to reach. He said this, he is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. I'll say that again. He is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. And there are so many on this planet right now that are doing their best to grasp and hold on tight to the things of this world that they cannot keep. You won't take it with you. And to the neglect of the things that you cannot lose. Do you want to be truly blessed? Do you want to be truly happy? Here's what you do. Focus on your eternity. Focus on your eternity. If you focus on the things of this life, you might get the things you want, but even if you do, you'll live a shallow life now, and then a life of torment for eternity. If you're saved and you're focusing on the things of this earth, you won't face an eternity of punishment, but you will regret it at that day. At the judgment seat, when Jesus gives the rewards for what has been given and you get to cast them back at Jesus' feet. Yeah, you'll spend eternity in heaven still, but you will have a time where you regretted the way that you used your life. But if you're lost this morning and you are unwilling to come to Christ and ask for forgiveness because of what you might lose now, you will regret that decision. You will. You'll regret that decision. But if you focus on the things of heaven, then no matter what's going on, you'll find true happiness now and true happiness then. Because true happiness is based and finds its foundation upon eternity. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for your Son again coming to this earth. And Lord, you know that we don't deserve anything good. Lord, if you were to give us what we deserve, we would have already been wiped out. But God, I'm thankful you love us so much. And you know who we are. You love us so much that you became a man and died for us. Lord, you suffered and you bled and you died. Lord, you wept, it says even. You did all of that so that we can have an opportunity to have our sins forgiven. An opportunity to have an eternity with you forever. Lord, help us to focus on that. Help us to look past the things of this earth and see eternity clearly. And for those whose eternity is in imbalance, God, there's those in this room that, like the rich man of Luke 16, that they'll die and wake up in hell, an eternity away from you. Lord, I pray that you bring conviction to their soul. Help them, Lord, to choose you over anything they might lose in this earth and follow you on this life and then be with you for eternity. And Lord, us that are your disciples, us that have been saved and even have given our life to you, help us to keep our focus where it belongs. And Lord, to be truly happy at all times. Thank you, God, for being so good to us. Thank you for loving us the way you do. We love you. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Amen. Let's stand together. We'll have a time.